So I continue to struggle with this difference between faith and work. You know, Paul was on one side of it, and I think to a large extent you'll see today that James had another view. And a lot of people like to pit that against each other and say that it's faith by works or there's no faith, and faith without works is dead. So we've got these sides that apparently conflict, but they don't. You know they don't conflict. Probably by faith, you know they don't conflict. But maybe we don't understand it as well. I deal with it at work, knowing how much to pray, believe, and let that be said and done, that I want to come to work with faith, that numbers will be achieved, that we'll accomplish our goals by faith. But I know that if I don't work, I can sit there with all the faith that I've got in my chair and believe with all my heart, really believe that things are going to happen. But without works, my faith is dead. And so we've got to understand, I want to understand better how this works. I've been studying it for a while. I'm going to preach later in this month on faith at a church. And so I'm studying. I'm spending a lot of time in this concept of faith because I don't want to teach something that is mechanical, because I believe to a large extent that faith is organic. It's not mechanical. You don't do faith. It's organic, that what's in me comes out and works because I have faith. Let me see if I can show that to you in the beginning of this thought in James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Just that consideration, that verse alone rattles me. Listen to it again. What does it profit? Profit. What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Read a lot of commentaries, a lot of Bible scholars around this topic. And basically, they pretty much say the same thing, that because you have faith, because faith is alive in you, you do work. There are things you do. It shows in the way that you treat one another. Your faith shows in how you love others, how you care about them, how you speak about them. Faith is not just simply saying, and he's going to say it here, well, let me just read it. It's better than me saying it to you. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, or a sister is lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, what does it profit? You know, to say to someone who's in need, I'll pray for you, brother, and then do nothing, what does it profit? James was pretty literal about this, not mechanical at all. Full of faith, believing that someone is going to get what they need. There's a little more work that needs to be done here. There's a little more than prayer to the fact that there's a need evident, and we've got to supply that need. Without faith, we don't have any desire to fill that need. We don't have any unction. We don't have any drawing, any pulling to serve that need. Listen to that difference. It's faith that begins the work. It's faith in God. It's what the gift of grace makes us, gets us to that place where we want to work. So there's no desire to do something without faith. We may do it out of our human intellect for a season, for a while. It won't be a way of life. It won't be something that we do all the time. It just won't be the way that we live. But with faith, knowing who he is and the power of grace, the power of the cross, knowing that, we look for ways to help. We wait for the drawing of the Holy Spirit, perhaps, but we look for ways to impart, to do, to give back. That's the essence, that when we're alive and well, when things are alive. But faith without works is dead. So I'll ask you the question this morning, if faith without works is dead, how can we cause our faith to come alive? How does it come alive? How do we revive faith that's dead? Well, maybe we do some work. And it should be in us. I question that I can continue to pass needs. If I can walk past needs and feel nothing, I need to question what's going on in my heart. If I can continue to just ignore stuff, not pay a bit of attention to what's going on in my circle, what I see, what I feel, what makes me cry, what makes me cry out to God, help them, help me to do something. What makes me to do that is not the cellular makeup of this human. We don't get there. We don't see that on our own. We see it because of God helps us to see it. We cry out for it because of what's in us. Spend some time with someone that's without the kingdom, outside of the kingdom of God, and see what they see. Listen to them. Hear what they speak of. I remember lots of times with my children, we had I think I've shared this with many of you, a discipline of when they get the miserables and they can't help it, we get them focused on something else. When I get self-focused, when I'm self-righteous, I want to see other needs. Now, I don't get there because of some self-help book or some intellect. I get there only through the cross. That's all that makes me want to see and to help someone else. But I know if I'm feeling selfish, I know my answer is to get closer to the Word, and the closer I get into the Word, the more I see need. And I start thinking about myself. Let's take this back to work. That as I begin to think about what I need to get done at work, when I get selfish, when I think only about me, my department, my floor, the things that we do individually, I tend to get limited. It's self-righteous. I can do this. I can make this happen. I still have to depend upon the grace of God to get anything done. I need His gifts. I need His empowerment. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to drive me, to show me, to enlighten me. I've preached this consistently. But I still have to come down off the Thessalonican mountain and go to work. Paul told him, you don't work, you don't eat. Stay up here and pray for food all you want, but get down off the hill, go to work. He was pretty literal about it. Paul's known to be a little bit cranky about stuff. But he told him to go to work, to get focused on doing. And so is what I share with my team a lot, what I share with my family, with my children, is, you know, love the Lord with all your heart. Love people. Look outside of yourself. In our work, this is 100% ministry as I'm speaking to you today. In the application of our work, we minister. That I think about who I'm helping. If the minute I try to write something and I don't think about who's going to read it, or I don't think about who I hope will read it, that I'm going to lack. It's going to be a matter of intellect. Anybody can write, but can I write into the ministry? Only through the grace of God, only through the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can write technical prose, but it won't have the heart that God gives us to try to help people to go from where they are to where they want to be. It's amazing sometimes to me how much we forget about who we're writing to. Why am I here? Yes, to help all of us, to help the ministry of this work, and to help you as individuals. But there's a greater help, and that's the people that are reading our content, the people that react to our books, to what we've said. They're the greater, that's what we're doing, helping people. Yes, all of us. And yes, for the power of the ministry. All those things are true. But if I lose sight, if I lose the heart for those that we're serving, it's going to be short-lived. It's just going to be mechanical. I don't want it to be mechanical. Saints, I don't want to do stuff with the rest of it. I do. I'm systematic. But at the same time, it's got to come from an organic place in my heart. That organism comes to me through the grace of Jesus. That desire. You can't make it. You can't do it out of some system. You can only do it from the heart of the Lord, the heart that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit that dwells in me, dwells in you. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's that meaning, it's that spiritual meaning that gives meaning to work. Work without faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. The essence of faith, the essence of that faith moment, in which I claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, when He's Lord, when He's truly Lord, then what we do is for the kingdom. It's for the good of others. It's going to impact other people. If I wrote a book for me, it's just a book of words. If I wrote a book to help people to love better and to love with more intention, then it's going to be different. It's going to have a different impact. It's going to be more than a book. It's going to be a message that will help people to see some things maybe more clearly, especially with the application of Scripture. I don't know that I want to read a book that's absent of Scripture. I want to see it interpreted through Scripture. I want to see the teaching point applied by Scripture. Think of that. How can a book inform me if it doesn't help enlighten Scripture, if it doesn't add something, not Scripture, but in adding in the interpretation, in the application? Don't you want to read how to help me, show me how to help others? Create in me a pure heart. The purity of heart is going to be that it's not for me, it's for you. The purity of heart is going to be, I have nothing to gain from this. There is no ulterior motive. There is nothing else that I want. I mean that. There's nothing else. The essence to me of faith is at the heart, the organic, not the mechanical. I don't want to be a robot. God could have made every one of us robotic, that we just do what God puts in our heart to do. We're robots. Or we can be organic and just love. And the things that we do will be the right things that are needed by the kingdom. We'll be led by the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's how I take this to work. That, you know, I'm really hoping that God shows up and does what he's going to do in my work. I pray first that he shows up in my heart. And that because he shows up and I'm desiring to do his work, I'll work harder. You see the difference? It's not hard work alone. It's hard work through faith. That if I give it everything I've got, then it's going to show up in the productivity. It's going to show up in how people are helped. And if we're helping people, God can't help but bless that. If I'm helping others, I'm going to get blessed to help others some more. We continue to be blessed by our Heavenly Father, by Jesus, because of how we're focused, our focal point, our organism, not our mechanics. That it's not whether it's one or the other. It's not save by faith alone. It's not that. But by faith that stands alone. See, if I've got faith that stands alone, what have I got? Not much. It's faith with action. It's faith with effort. It's faith with movement. The apostles could have sat around all their days sitting in their circle and not doing much. They were with Jesus. They were in a good place. But he taught them to go. He gave them very specific instructions to go and work. Do things. That had nothing to do with their salvation. Their salvation was organic. It was part of them, what they did and how they shared. So I hope you apply it in this way, that in everything that you do, in every hand that you pick up, in all the work that we do, let it be from an unction of the Holy Spirit. Be Spirit-led. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Led. You can't be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not in you. So where's the faith? My faith is in staying close to the Lord. That's all I have to do, is stay close. And in doing that, I'll see the work that needs to be done. I'll move toward that, and I believe God blesses that. I think the Lord's Prayer says it very clearly. I think every place that I open the Word, I see more evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit is leading this work.
The Lord is preparing us for an enormously blessed event that is prophesied in the Bible. Although the term rapture is not in the Bible, the event is described in great detail, and the word rapture has come to be used to identify this event. The time is now for everyone to hear, understand, and act in a godly manner so that we will be found worthy of the rapture. Author Glenda Dumas shares the visions of the rapture and unseen realm in her new book to help readers prepare for what is to come, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. This exciting and scripture-centered book helps readers clearly see the signs of the end times and how they can be ready to meet their God and Savior. To read a free excerpt of this book or to purchase it, go to GlendaDumas.com. That's GlendaDumas.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.